You're listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast, a podcast of training the church.
Hey, this is Adam Griffin, and I'm here with my two female co-hosts. First, Cassie Bryant. How are you doing today, Cassie?
Great. Feeling very female.
You are very female.
I don't know if it's the cardigan or the bracelet.
Yeah.
What makes, yeah.
I'm not wearing any bracelets, and I definitely don't have a cardigan on.
You could, though. I mean, Mr. Rogers wore a cardigan.
That's true.
It's not just females that wear cardigans.
That's true. That's true. Speaking of very female, but not wearing a cardigan, my dear wife, Chelsea Griffin. How are you doing today, Chelsea?
Hello. I'm good. I'm here in all my layers.
I was looking at the pink sweats.
Are we wearing ski pants? We've talked about this on the podcast. Are you wearing some of the fleece lines?
No, I'm wearing fleece pants underneath some very thick sweatpants.
Yeah.
What did you say
to me last night about those pants? Do you remember?
I wish I had more of them.
I think you said, I wish that it was acceptable to wear these underneath everything.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yeah. Those are the pants that I have that are like the lining looks like polar bear fur. Yeah. Those are some different sweatpants, but I bought those after I Googled warmest pants on earth and I bought them and they are the warmest pants. They're gigantic. So I couldn't even fit them under anything.
Because they're thick, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very large.
I would like our listeners to know what temp do you keep your house at?
It's not that high. I mean, I don't think we keep the heat on like 72.
Okay.
A lot. And I can agree that it does get stuffy in our house sometimes.
Big time.
Are you complaining right now,
Cassie?
Yeah, no, I don't mean to go adjust the thermostat.
I was curious because I came from church, which we keep cold all the time.
Yeah.
Well,
church is always cold.
Speaking of gender differences, like I was told that the reason that room temperature is what it is it was decided by middle-aged white males.
Yeah. Like all lab values.
Yes. Like what is a normal lab value, right? Yeah. Chelsea, tell us about that. Like what's normal?
Well, a lot of people live outside the norm in their lab values, but what we consider normal is based on, I think, 40-year-old white males.
Yeah, I'm 43, yeah. So I'm just a little bit outside the norm.
Eric's 40, so Eric. Yeah.
So he can teach you how to keep your potassium just right.
I eat bananas. I assume that helps.
All right. Well, we're back on a really important question that we started addressing in the first episode of this season. Last episode, we talked about basically leading boys to be men and the society, the culture, also just how we define that and then what the church can do about it. This is going to be a similar conversation, but I wanted to focus about the genders separately because I do think they're worthy of their own conversations. But certainly this is really, really important. How are we helping families think about raising girls to be women? And also, you know, even a family like the Griffins, we're not raising any girls here, but we are certainly raising boys who want to be sensitive to the difference or sensitive to what a woman is, what a girl is, and what means for them as men. Now, Cassie, when we were talking about even prepping for this episode, you were saying that even the resources kind of in your arsenal of resources, which is a deep well, you have a deep well. What you were coming up kind of short on this. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. I called Adam on Thursday and was like, hey, if you think I've got this figured out or I have like a killer resource to recommend, I don't. I did order probably 14 resources on Amazon to speed read and I called all my like avid reading girl mom friends and just distributed them and said, can you read these over the weekend? And then hit me back with some of your feedback. Cause I was just curious as to what they thought about the resources that exist that are out there. But it's pretty anemic.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think some of it might be we've come out of the purity culture where every resource was about purity for women. And now societally, there's a lot of confusion about what it means to be a woman.
Yeah.
And I don't know that the church has had a great response to that.
Well, right. There's like this strong feminism narrative that like, because we do want equality in opportunities for women, we don't want women to suffer because they are women. Right. But then, so that's a biblical idea that women have equal worth, that they are made in the image of God. But a lot of things that just come with the word feminism imply this, that it's not about having equal worth and like dignified co-heirs with men, but rather that like you actually have to oust men from anything that they do in order to show your value and prove it. You almost you've got to like shove it in their faces and show that we can actually take all the best jobs or we can actually lead everything. And there's like no room for them, which is bizarre because we hated the idea of men saying there was no room for us.
Yeah, it's all, it doesn't work. If you've did y'all see Barbie?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean for that to sound like judgmental.
It just sounds so unified. Like,
saw
no,
three times
we just did it.
We're in Christians. The theaters. I saw it three times at the theaters. Okay. The Northway staff actually went and did a staff fun day and then had a very robust dialogue. But I would say it's a great opportunity. I ended up taking Maven and we had a great conversation because that's essentially the world that they are running, is that women have all of it.
Did I just spoil the plot of the Barbie movie?
No.
Oh, okay. Close
because
one.
They still don't know that it's a multiverse movie. Which is crazy.
Multiverses are killing us. Adam and I are just talking about this. They've got to die.
You don't like Spider-Man?
No, we like it. It's just Spider-Man. Too much.
There's a couple that are good.
It's too much. Well,
I watched the worst movie ever this week and it was all multiverse and I don't even want to get into it. It was so bad. I'll never get that time back.
Well, for those who were brave enough to watch Barbie,
you have to be brave.
Yeah. The girl who was bold and watched Barbie.
Girls are so brave out there watching
but
movies.
But I told Maven, like, they're wrong. Both sides were wrong. And it's like, you know, God's design was for there to be flourishing for both genders and not just one or the other, because it paints, you know, both genders having their heyday. And so it's like, we just talked about how like it fell short of really painting a picture of what it looks like for both to flourish. And that's where God's design comes in. And so, the resources were a little lacking. They're mostly about puberty, purity. And then there's a ton on what it means to be a wife or a mother, which is, that is God's good design.
Yeah.
That all women would be wives and mothers. But the fall happened.
Totally.
And so that's not a promise I can make to my girls or keep. I don't know if they'll find godly men.
Do you think really that pre-fall, everyone had to be married should have been?
I don't know. I mean, I think his design was.
Jesus wasn't married.
I don't understand that, but he also, I don't know. That's a great question.
But I'm saying you can live a perfect
in the
life.
New heaven and new earth.
Live a perfect life glorifying to God. That's what I mean.
Oh yeah, I know that.
So I'm saying but you thought if sin hadn't come into the garden that every single person would get married?
I don't know. I just thought the be fruitful and multiply Adam and Eve was like,
I see.
Do that. Yeah.
More marriages,
more marriages, yeah. More families. Like keep going.
But not necessarily you're not saying marriage is part of God's perfect plan. If you're not married, you're lacking.
No, I know you're not saying that. I've just never thought about this concept. No, I'm not picking apart Cassie's theology. I know her doctrine.
But no, I think
good.
It's interesting because in the new heaven and new earth, we won't be married.
That's
and
right.
I don't know that we'll be procreating. But I think it's more of just like that was the initial design in the garden. And so I was just thinking though, I think my friends who are women that are my age, that are in their late 30s or early 40s and not married, have struggled with what does it mean to be a woman then if I'm never going to operate in those two roles?
Yeah.
Because the church has said a lot to women who operate in those two roles,
sure,
but not a lot to women who are single.
Yeah.
And so it's just like there's got to be an answer for them, but there wasn't a lot out there.
Yeah, you guys are touching on a couple things for me. Like when you think about singles ministry in the church has historically been, I wish I was married ministry in the church. And we don't actually minister to singles. We minister to people assuming they wish they weren't in the stage they are, right? Mm. And one thing that happened similarly in its irony in our culture is that in order to create equality in our cultural narrative between men and women, our culture has said, and then being feminine and being successful must be a woman being what has been considered historically masculine. So if it's been historically masculine to be the hero who comes in and rescues the helpless, well, women are going to fill that role and men will not. And you go, well, just because it's been historically masculine does not mean like there's an inequity there to say that has to be reconciled or that men have to be feminized in a sense of incapable of some, like, which has been historically detrimental in its feminine definition. Well, now that's men. As if we had to like tear something down for men and build something up for women and really it exchanged something instead of saying like, hey, the way the Lord designed you, though, the way the Lord has made you, I'm not saying like, hey, however God made you is perfect. I'm saying twisted by sin, but saying that societally, a woman, in order to be equal with a man, does not have to take on historically masculine traits.
Right.
She can still be what has been historically feminine. She can cook in a kitchen. She could be a stay-at-home mom and still be of great value. But there's kind of a societal story that goes, oh, that might lead to oppression. And I get it. And maybe it has for so many people that we need to be careful about that. But I think it also has built these kind of guilt, shame, cultural ideas of feminine, masculine.
Yeah.
That you can see it in our storytelling right now, that if a story does not have a strong female character, and by that, what we mean is a woman that can punch a man or kick a man or overcome a man, then it's not like a good modern story. And at the same time, thank God for this, we don't have stories where men are hitting, kicking women in order to be successful. So there's some strange still existing inequities. Chelsea, you're much better at articulating this than I am. Am I touching on anything?
Yeah, I think what you're describing is this, well, we just talked about the scarcity mentality, as if like there's not enough room for everybody.
Right.
So like you're describing, the idea of like, if a woman needs to be masculine in order to be more valuable or be equal, then that's still saying that men are superior.
But a woman needs to be like a man.
You can attain it. Just be like a man.
Right.
Right. Like in the workplace, just make sure you don't have any children because it will hurt your career. Right. And our culture's response to that is like, we'll help you kill the children. And that way you can be equal, because men don't have to be held back in their career by children. So why should women? So this is the solution. You're going, wow.
Now you don't even have to have like your menstrual cycle. They can put you on medicine that just allows you to skip it altogether.
Right. And you're going, we're not very good at coming up with great solutions. We like to think of ourselves as a very progressive society, but we find really hurtful ways to manage what we think are our problems. What I think is super tricky about this conversation is that as I raise my sons, I'm eager to tell them how great it can be to be a father and a husband, that if they seem to desire a relationship with a female, a romantic relationship, that we're going to be able to tell our sons, like, that is God calling you up to lead a family, to serve and protect and lead a family. And that is so great. And you can pursue it. And we want to teach you like really great, healthy ways to pursue it and to honor a woman in that pursuit and love her and care for her. And that is so wonderful. And if I had daughters, it's a really confusing message, because we want to extol the beauty and the benefits of marriage, motherhood, and family. But we know if we want our daughters to wait for someone who is godly, we know the numbers don't look great.
Right.
Okay. I don't know the exact numbers, but they don't look great.
Right.
And so I would be very eager to tell my daughter, you don't need a man. You don't need marriage. Motherhood's great if God grants it. But those can't be goals necessarily. They can be hopes and desires, but it can't be something you can just say, I'm just going to go achieve this, because it requires a godly counterpart. And so
and your assumption is, because of the rarity that we see anecdotally, that would might be the case for any daughter we're raising.
And I want my daughter, I would want her to feel secure apart from that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I would never want to have these messages of, hey, be like this so that a man likes you.
Right. Yeah.
However,
we're teaching them to pump gas and change their spare tire.
Yeah.
To do the things they might have to do when they're adults, if they don't.
Yeah. What's interesting about this, and I know we're delving into a little bit more like the difference between men and women in our culture. And I want to get back to like difference between girls and women, which is our topic. Yes. But I was part of a social experiment in a class at one point in college where they had us on write down on a piece of paper, if you woke up tomorrow and you were the opposite gender, what would be different? And this probably won't surprise you guys, and I think this says something about where our society is, that almost all of the things that men wrote down, if tomorrow they woke up and they were a woman, were almost all negative things. I would have to do this. I wouldn't be able to do that. And for the women in our class, almost 100% of them were positive things. I'd finally be able to do this, or I wouldn't have to do that anymore, or wouldn't have to endure this anymore. A lot of them were biological, but some of them were societal. And I think it's an impression we've fostered as a culture around feminine and masculine, around what you would rather be, or what is more admirable, what is easier.
What's more fun.
That's excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Easier and more fun. And that is part of what the Barbie movie, my understanding, is that it's kind of addressing that idea a little bit of the patriarchy, right?
Yeah.
Is their big thing.
Yeah.
And that, and there definitely is some of that, but let's bring it back to girls and helping our girls grow to be women, understanding what we talked about already, that a society might be defining womanhood in a way that's making things kind of hard. And also there's this difference between men and women that historically has made this conversation for us right now difficult. But Cassie, I want to start with you, because you're raising three daughters.
Yeah.
Chelsea and I are raising three sons. the conversation we had in our last episode all about raising boys, is it very different? I'm really curious. The way that you think about raising your girls to be women, is it super different than the way we're thinking about raising boys to be men?
It is not. I don't mean, because I think that the aim is Christlikeness, and that will play itself out differently because they're women. But the first thing, the first ball that would have to drop for them to be godly women would be to give their life to Christ and to follow him and call him Lord. And so all that to say, so even the passages we talked about, it's like, those are ones I want my girls to know and to embody. Because even when we think about women as what mothers or wife, you know, wives, we think about sacrificial. They're also sacrificing and leading selfless lives. And so it just looks, it just looks different than it does to be men. So yeah, I don't think the conversation looks that different because, like you said in our last podcast episode, that the opposite of woman isn't man, it's girl. And so that means that our aims are actually more similar than they are different as we seek to grow them as mature believers.
Totally agree. So I've got a question for both of you. Do you remember a moment or a time? I'm willing to bet it wasn't just like in a moment, but do you remember feeling like, now I am a woman, I'm not a girl anymore? And what that might've been related to for you?
Well, embarrassingly, I think it was when I was first allowed or bought my first Cosmopolitan magazine that wasn't Cosmo Girl, which I'm not going to recommend this.
This is amazing.
But it's just like, okay, I can buy this because I am not going to just read the girl one anymore. I want to read. No one recommends that magazine. This is not
an endorsement. I'm not familiar. Is it like a very secular, ungodly?
Oh, it's Cosmo?
Yeah.
I honestly, I don't think I've ever looked through it. I've assumed it's pure garbage.
It is pure garbage.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. I'm just saying. But I remember thinking that was a big deal. Mm. It was a big deal to like graduate from that. And then I obviously like puberty, body differences. And then I think that when I first moved out of my house, it felt like adulthood and womanhood were linked for sure. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm an adult. I'm paying rent. I have a job. All those things.
Yeah. How about for you, Chelsea?
I think I honestly, as much as I just talked about how if I had a daughter, I don't want to raise her to think like all you can be is a wife and a mom. But I feel like being a wife and a mom has made me feel like a more official woman, even though I don't believe that. I don't believe any single woman who doesn't have children, isn't married, is not arrived.
Right.
I don't believe that at all. But I think in my own eyes, like how I judge myself, I think motherhood was like, entering into motherhood felt very shocking to me. You know, when I first had a baby, I'd be holding my baby at home and like go look in the mirror and I'd be like, does this look bizarre? Like, can people tell like I'm a fraud? And I'd go and look and I'd be like, I've never seen a woman with a baby in her arms and thought like, that looks unnatural. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Right.
But that's how I kind of felt like people would see me because I just thought, this is so crazy that I've actually done this thing of, bring life into the world.
Did either of you have like rites of passage, have any older woman in your life say like, hey, now you're a woman?
No.
At 16, we had a sweet 16 birthday party. My stepdad, very kindly, he bought me a beautiful ring from James Avery and it was a purity ring. So we did the purity talks and all of that. And then I was given like a hope chest, which is, that's a very like,
what is that?
Old school. It was a cedar chest where you like, I used it to store like my ideas for what I wanted in my wedding and all of that. So you kind of put like your hopes in it, into it and like your things. Now it sits upstairs and stores random stuff in my house.
Cool.
Because your hope has been realized.
My hope has been realized. It does have like our wedding photos. It might have my, like some of my stuff from our wedding.
I hope it went just the way you hoped.
It did go it is going the way I hope.
Do you feel like, Very Chelsea, blessed. Do you feel like you would have responded well if like a, let's say an older woman at your church, you were growing up and was like, hey, I really want to talk to you about becoming a woman. Would you be like, oh, I've been dying for that?
I think
it would have been confusing.
I think I would have been super uncomfortable. But I mean, there's just a lot of things. Like, if that was like on pace with everything else, then that would make sense. When I think about like men in our church who've done rites of passage with their sons, and their sons received it really well because their dads have been discipling them since day one. Yeah. You know, they weren't like, get away from me, dad. I don't want to have any weird talks with you. Like, they received it and honestly, I think felt really honored to have their dad and their like other men from the church pray for them. Like I think they felt really respected by that. And if I had been mature enough or especially in my faith, but also just generally mature enough to know that is an honor. Like that would have, because once I was in my early 20s, I was really eager to meet older women in the church and for them to show me anything. I was like all ears, you know.
That's true.
You know, yeah. But I wasn't mature enough, but again, hadn't really been discipled in like a formal way as a child, even though I was in the church. So it would have felt uncomfortable to me if someone was like, let's talk about being a woman. Yeah. I would have been like, red flags, gotta go. But no, if I was like on a track of discipleship in the church, someone taking an interest, you know, I think we all relate to that. If someone is like really interested in your life,
yeah,
cares about you, wants to share something meaningful with you or honor you in some way, I think I would have loved that.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, listeners, we live in a world where anxiety, depression, and weariness seem to be the basic descriptors of our lives. For many of us, our calendars and our plates are overfull, yet our lives still lack joy. But it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus invites you to have true and abundant joy that's only found in Him. In John 15, Jesus reveals three very surprising pathways to finding this type of joy. You can discover these pathways in the new book, Overflowing Joy, by author and Bible teacher Tara Due. This is available at lifeway.com, and you can save 40% off with the code JOY40. Again, that's J-O-Y, the number 4, the number 0, at lifeway.com. The new book is Overflowing Joy by Tara Due. Check it out. Hey, listeners, this episode of the Family Discipleship Podcast is brought to you by Crossway. They're publishing a brand new resource you have got to check out. It's New Morning Mercies for Teens, a daily gospel devotional by Paul David Tripp. This encouraging book features 366 engaging daily devotionals. They're all adapted for teenagers. Each day includes a one-sentence gospel-centered reading and an extended meditation, Bible verses, and a prompt for discussion or for personal reflection, which means they can do it on their own or with you. So pick up a copy of New Morning Mercies for Teens wherever books are sold, or you can visit crossway.org/plus to find out how you can get 30% off with a Crossway Plus account. Listeners, we love Crossway. We love Paul David Tripp. We love New Morning Mercies, and we're so pumped for New Morning Mercies for Teens. Check it out today at crossway.org. One of the things we talked about in the last episode is historically, as I've taught about manhood, I've taught societally, I see a lot of society's definition is rooted in achievement for men. Have you ever done this, accomplished this, or been through this? And that would be what defines you as a man. And historically, I've also taught when it comes to womanhood, what's different in our culture is we've often related womanhood to more relationship and responsibility than we have achievement. It's not that you accomplish something so much as that now you are considered responsible for something, or that a woman, somebody in your life that you consider a woman looks at you like you are a woman, that it's based on that relationship, that somebody you kind of look up to is like, yeah, you're one of us. And then that brings a sense of, I am part of the gang, part of the club.
Yeah.
Now that's not universal, but that is the way that I've historically kind of taught that and worked through that. I'd love to hear what you guys say, and feel free to pick it apart. But when I say that, are there things that you resonate with there? You go like, that's our society.
The first time I got invited to a bridal shower because I was friends with the bride's mom.
Oh, old lady.
Y'all, that felt big time. That felt big time. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is one of those things.
Yeah, or like,
I'm not the child in this scenario, because I still felt kind of like a kid getting married, you know. But yeah, that felt like a nod, you know, of like, all right,
yeah,
I'm in, sort of.
That's interesting. What about you, Cassie?
Yeah, I think I agree with the relationship thing. I think it has a lot had to do. It was wrapped up in your body changing, and then like going on dates or dances, all of that kind of felt like introductory into womanhood. Like all of a sudden you're worthy of a relationship with the opposite sex, in a way that is kind of new, that would be romantic, I guess. And that felt very set apart. Like no girl is doing that. That's something, you know.
Yeah, that's for a grown up.
For a grown up, yeah. Now I don't know that the world sees it that way anymore, but we also had debutante in our hometown.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like debutante balls.
I was in one of those.
Which was like a coming of age.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was in one of those. Yeah. It was horrible.
Big in the South.
Oh, I'd like to see pictures.
There are none.
Okay.
There are none.
I didn't know what it was when I said yes to it.
What I think is interesting about this is if that bears some weight, saying that when a woman that I consider a woman considers me a woman, then I am a woman, then it seems like there'd be an opportunity in the family and in the church to help girls feel like, okay, this is, we're going to define this together. You are now a woman because me and the other women in your life who care about you are saying that is the case because we see X, Y, and Z in you. Am I right? Is that making logical sense? Like the opportunity is there, like it's rife.
Yeah.
Like the opportunity to say like, hey, the mature women in your church could do that. The Titus 2 woman could help a girl say like, hey, this is going to be the difference and we see it in you.
Yeah.
What is that resonating with you guys at all?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that that's hugely important in terms of the generations and it being, it not just being, I mean, I definitely value the women that are between Maven's age and my age pouring into her because, you know, they're just a step, they're a couple steps ahead of her, but they're still cooler than mom. But I also think it's very important for my friends to love on Maven. And then even for like my mom's generation, like women in the church that it would be in their 60s, for girls to see like a graceful example of aging and maturity and just the way that all of those generations work together to help each other operate as godly women, I think is very important. And also, I mean, it's only been recently, she's 10, almost 11, that young moms have started like asking her to hold their babies. Mm. And I've noticed, I've seen it in her like, oh,
yeah,
that's wow, big. Yeah. This mom would trust me to hold the baby while she ran and went to the bathroom during church.
Wow.
And so for her, it's like an honor. And so, I mean, she's definitely, we're not to the point where we would have any sort of rite of passage with her. I think we'll probably wait till 13 for that. But I see her already starting to long for that kind of maturity and calling up.
Yeah, yeah, getting that respect.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe respect is a better word. Yeah, I was thinking of, like good. You just brought up is responsibility though that I was talking about earlier. Like somebody entrusted her with something that was really precious.
Right. Yeah.
And the relationship, the person saw her and said, Maven can do this. But I love, like respect is a great word for it.
Yeah.
Saying like, do you have the respect of the women that you consider to be women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed when I used to work in golf and I was working at a country club, that there was a golfer there who has turned out to be a very successful PGA Tour golfer, but
Tiger Woods.
It wasn't Tiger.
Oh, okay.
But when he was a young kid, the way men treated him at the country club and when he was 11, I mean, the way the older men at the country club treated him so different than any other 11-year-old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they would look him in the eye, shake his hand, speak to him like a man about things in his life because they all respected him because he could beat all of them.
Because of his golf game.
Exactly. Because he had this achievement. But so he got this respect. But it was just funny. I would just sit there and observe it and go, he gets treated like a corporate CEO.
Yeah.
The way people talk to him and regard him, you know, but they would walk past every other 11-year-old. And if that 11-year-old needed anything or said anything, it would be like, hey, little buddy, you know,
right.
But that respect that we can give to our kids moving towards this is a way to show them, you know, what
we trust you.
Yeah. We're trusting you with something. Yes. Yeah. We expect something out of you, you know?
So if a mom came to you and said, hey, Cassie, I would love it if you could help me think about helping my daughters see the difference between a girl and a woman. We've talked about Christ-likeness, that's self-sacrificial. But she was like, I want to have like an overt talk where I say, here's going to be the difference. How does this concept of respect from women maybe marry with what a church program or a church ritual or a Christian parent might design in their own home? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's going to lead them towards that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that outside, like, so if you were going to do a rite of passage, the way I've seen it done with some of my friends who are ahead of us, they have like all of these women write letters and some of them gather and will do like a big thing and they read the letters to their daughters and they just kind of affirm what they see in this young woman. And some have just said ahead, mail it to this address and she'll receive it all and then keep them. But I think in addition to that, it's like that comes with encouragement and what's the word? Edifying speech towards this new stage of life you're entering comes with responsibility. And we're going to work towards building the trust that will be kind of required for you to take on more responsibility in our home for different things. And so, I mean, I think, like I said, it can look the same as what you know, you guys mentioned Oscar doing it last week's episode, but it's like, you're now responsible for your own laundry and maybe your little sister's, or yeah, helping with meals or helping with this. And so it's seeing her now as a partner in the home, and helping shape her and prepare her for what it looks like to manage and run her own home someday.
Right.
It doesn't mean she has to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm not a stay-at-home mom. It just means that, like, that's something that, you know, God is, she, even if she stays single, she will manage a home.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, this is something I can give her very practical tips, but all of those things require trust. It's a precious thing to steward a home.
Yeah, I think you're touching on something there to clarify too. Like, we're when we talk about adulthood, a lot of times society means like independence would maybe be a word that we haven't talked about much, but we talked about it conceptually in the last episode when we talk about self-control and freedom, right? Independence societally would mean I can do what I want and I will take care of, I'll be responsible with that, right? And then when I'm not, then society would say, well, then you're going to face consequences like jail time or fines or whatever, because you're not responsible with your independence, and your independence is infringing on the independence of others, which is a huge cultural value right now. It's like, you can be as independent as you want to be as long as you don't infringe on the independence of others. But when it comes to this conversation in the church, we're not trying to create a daughter who can be as independent as possible. And that means woman. We want to have a young girl who grows to be a woman who recognizes her complete dependence on God, but because of that is equipped for whatever the Lord would have for her in his plan. Right. And so there is a difference between what the society would say, like, this is a woman, look, she's on her own, she can do whatever, no glass ceilings, you know, here she goes, versus we would say, man, she can pursue all those things. But similar to what you're talking about earlier, Chelsea, when it comes to our society's view of babies, is she can be a mom and have these things. Mm-hmm. She does not have to have independence from childbearing in order to be a woman. She doesn't have to have independence from a man in order. She can be married and have this. She can fulfill, you know, these traditional roles and do this. She could also be single and be contented in that and be okay. And and this, it's not about her independence from a man or from her parents. It's about her dependence on God and recognizing her strength that comes from the freedom that comes from dependence on God. Right?
Right.
I was pinging a bunch of women this week as I knew this topic was coming up. So I'm calling, you know, women a couple years or even decade ahead of me, just kind of asking how they thought about this with their daughters, and was given a resource that a woman who does ministry at Mosaic had written for their women at Mosaic. And I loved the way she just has like two little descriptions under the word flourish. And it was life giver and strong helper was how she is discipling women to think about their womanhood.
That's good.
At Mosaic. And I just thought that was so helpful because that I already see those things in my daughters, their desire to cultivate and nurture. Now it's like lizards that they catch, or, you know, a flower.
So they want to take care of something.
They want to take care of something and they can live that out regardless of the life stage or season of life that God's going to, you know, give to them later. But to kind of fan that flame in them and call that out in them, I thought was a really beautiful idea and kind of image. And then also strong helper, and just something as they grow into womanhood, that they're going to be able to come alongside the church and be a strong helper.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
What scriptures come to mind for you guys? When you think about a girl becoming a woman, what comes to mind for you?
I mean, I think Proverbs 31.
Never heard of it.
No.
I've only heard of that MLM, that P31.
What is that?
Multi-level marketing?
Yeah, I think they sell bags. No, there's this like tiny little blurb in the Psalms that says, like, may our daughters be pillars.
That's good.
And I'm going to find it because I don't know where it is.
That's right. Tell me about Proverbs 31, Cassie.
So yeah, I mean, I like Proverbs 31 because she's a very complicated woman. She's got a lot going on. So she's not, it's not a singularly focused mission that she's on. And I think my favorite part of it is that she laughs at the days to come. So she's not, our girls today are riddled with anxiety and fear and self-image issues. And so she doesn't, in my mind, the Proverbs 31 woman isn't anxious about getting older. She isn't anxious about what's to come, but she, her faith and her trust is in God. And that's what enables her to do everything that she's doing.
That's so good.
And so that's why I really love that prophet.
Yeah. That's a great example of like what she is truly liberated from.
Yeah.
It's not that she gets to do whatever she wants, is that she trusts a God that means whatever comes, she's going to be okay.
Right.
And therefore she is truly free.
Yeah.
Right. She can laugh at the days to
come. To just operate in all of those different, you know, spaces that she's in. She can do that because she's not riddled with anxiety.
Yeah.
In praise the Lord.
In that proverb, it talks about her like basically doing business things, doing home things, doing cultural things, societal things. And it's like, yeah, and she can do all these things.
Yeah.
And it's not to call out women and say, if you're not doing everything and everything well, then you're not biblical. Rather, it's like, no, this is an ideal provided for you. In fact, in ancient Jewish homes, I believe that a husband would sing Proverbs 31 over the wife, and the wife would sing Psalm 112 over the men, which we can get into Psalm 112 some other time.
Just but like we do every morning.
Yeah. I wake you up with like, she's not afraid of the snow.
That's
you
right.
Know, stuff
I
like
am.
That.
Yeah. I am actually afraid of the snow. Psalm 144 verse 12 says, may our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace.
Mm. Talk to me about that.
So you just think of something strong and something that holds things up that it can't do without. And I love that this verse talks about sons and daughters, but we need everybody. There's room for everyone to flourish. And I think that's the big narrative that we need to fight.
Gosh,
is that
that's
like,
good.
there's not enough flourishing for both men and women to have it. That's not true.
Right.
Right.
God designed all of us for the abundant life. Calling all of us to something better than the kind of reckless independence that hurts us and hurts those around us.
Right.
He's calling us to be like plants full grown and corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace, not a shanty, little shack, the structure of a palace.
That's good.
Something strong that holds things up and that none of God's callings are insulting.
Yeah.
And I think that gets confused a lot in the church too, that like, to talk about what women can and can't do, like all of it develops a connotation at a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, like you say stay at home mom and it gives people a feeling.
Yeah. It's either a badge of honor or a badge of shame.
Yep. And you're going, God's called you to abundant life.
Yeah.
And he's called you to serve and he's called you to lead. So if you're serving and leading in your home, that's great.
Yeah.
If you're single and you don't have children, but you're serving and leading and you're cultivating, you're doing what God's called you to, there is room for you to have abundant life because you are made in the image of God. And that does not matter if you are male or female.
Yeah. It also doesn't matter, similar to what we said in the last episode, what age of girl we're dealing with. You don't have to wait till a girl is 16 to start talking about calling her up to what we call maturity. You know, wait till she's 12. You start when you have a baby. If you're listening and you're going, you're about to have your first kid and it's going to be a daughter, you start immediately going, here's what it looks like to be a pillar that holds something up. I'm going to call you up to something better. I love in the scripture where it talks about how we are from one degree of glory to another being sanctified. And that's what I want for my kids. That's what I want for manhood. There may not be a point where my sons, I can go, today was the day you became a man.
Right.
Or for your daughters that you say, today was the day you became a woman. But I do hope that over time, similar to, you know, the way a man grows a beard, Chelsea has heard me say this a million times, like the distance that we measure, this may sound really weird to you, Cassie, but we measure great distances in light years because it's the distance a light goes in a year. It's a huge swath and it's a measure of distance. There's a very tiny unit of measure called a beard second. And it's the distance that a man's beard grows in 1 second, which is tiny. So it's unnoticeably small. But what I love about that description is a beard second, it's growing every second. You can't tell unless you look like a day later or 2 days later. And that's what I want for our kids as they're growing to maturity. We may not see like a light years of difference in them. Oh, yesterday you weren't, today you are.
Yeah.
But we are working towards, in all of our family discipleship, these incremental, degree by degree, look more and more like Jesus. These sometimes imperceptibly small moves towards sanctification, towards maturity. A girl becoming more and more like a woman of God and a boy becoming more and more like a man of God.
Yeah.
And that being built into them by their parents saying, calling them up, adding responsibility, and women in their life saying, I see it in you. When I see something positive, I see it. And what a blessing it is to a young girl to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, friends. If you think it's as important as we do to disciple our families, please help us out by giving us a great review wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit one of our sponsors and share this episode with one of your friends. If you want to keep up with us or join the conversation, you can follow the Family Discipleship Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, listeners, and we are looking forward to all God has for us in the next episode and the rest of the spring to come. We'll see you next week.